Good to be back again tonight. Justin Jenkins said this morning that he was given the ability to preach, so he preached. Unfortunately, I wasn't given that ability, but like he said, my granddad always says that he doesn't preach, he talks. Unfortunately, I was given the ability to talk, so not that I necessarily like it, but here I am. Tonight's not going to be a normal lesson. We're going to dive in to 2 Kings and look at a story that has always intrigued me, interested me, and I kind of found it funny, but I didn't really understand it. So we're going to dive in, and I've named my talk tonight Good News Bears. Like the movie Bad News Bears, but it's bears that are in the good news. Not that they necessarily bring good news, but they're found in the good news. So, talking about bears and the good news. But to get some context, we're going to read the whole chapter of 2 Kings chapter 2. I may stop and give a little Ryan Cutts commentary along the way, so bear with me. And it came about when the Lord was about to take up Elijah by a whirlwind to heaven, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Then the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from you today?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Be still." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho approached Elisha and said to him, Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be still." Then Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. Now 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood opposite them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Elijah took his mantle, or his hat, and folded it together and struck the waters, and they were divided here and there, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." Now this is a big, big ask of Elisha. It's like somebody asking Superman to be twice as powerful as he is. But Elijah says, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." As they were going along and talking, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, which separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by whirlwind to heaven. Elisha saw it and cried out, "My father, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." Now this is the first phrase that kind of threw me off. After thinking about it a little bit, you know, they say that there's a saying that some believe in chariots and horses, but we believe in the Lord our God. I think this is Elisha saying, this is the army of God that's just been taken up in a whirlwind from us. This is God's power. And he saw Elijah no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and returned and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Now this is Elisha's first test now that he's received a double portion. Since he got to see Elijah get taken up, he's received that double portion. This is his first test. He stands by the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he struck the waters and said, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when also had struck the waters, they were divided here and there, and Elijah crossed over. So, it worked. We're good. Now when the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho opposite saw him, they were still watching from the other side of the Jordan, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. They said to him, "Behold now, there are with your servants 50 strong men. Please let them go and search for your master. Perhaps the spirit of the Lord has taken him up and cast him onto some mountain or into some valley." And Elisha says, "You shall not send." Elisha told him what happened, and apparently they didn't believe him. They wanted to send these strong men to go find Elijah. Maybe God dropped them off on the top of a mountain or in a valley. Maybe he needs help. But they urged him until he was ashamed for some reason. He finally breaks down and he says, "Send." And they sent, therefore, 50 men. And they searched 3 days but did not find him. They returned to him while he was staying at Jericho, and he said to them, "Did I not say to you, do not go?" He's saying, I told you what happened and you didn't believe me. He's chastising him for not believing him. Then the men of the city said to Elisha, "Behold now, the situation of the city is pleasant, as my Lord sees, but the water is bad and the land is unfruitful." Maybe it was sulfur water or something along those lines. Something that didn't let the crops grow like they should. The land didn't bear fruit. So Elisha says, "Bring me a new jar and put salt in it." So they brought it to him. And he went out to the spring of water and threw the salt in it and said, "Thus says the Lord, I have purified these waters. There shall not be from there death or unfruitfulness any longer." So apparently this water was so bad that it was causing people to die. The land wasn't fruitful. And this was a spring. This wasn't a pond that you can, you know, dump some chlorine in and kind of cleanse the water. This is a spring of moving water. So this is definitely a miracle that happens. God cleansed this water. So the waters have been purified to this day, according to the word of Elisha, which he spoke. You know, these waters were pure. They could have bottled it up, sold it $2 a bottle. Elisha water. Okay, so here's where we're going to spend the rest of our time tonight, these last few verses. Then he went up from there to Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, young lads came out from the city and mocked him and said to him, "Go up, you bald head! Go up, you bald head!" Then he looked behind him and he saw them. He cursed them in the name of the Lord. Then two female bears came out of the woods and tore up 42 lads of their number. He went from there to Mount Carmel, and there he returned to Samaria. So that escalated quickly. I mean, bears come up, tearing up 42 lads. So I said this story, this is the story that I'm saying that has always kind of intrigued me. And I kind of thought it was funny. Kids making fun of a bald guy and then getting attacked by bears just out of nowhere. Boom. Justice. Well, also said I didn't understand it, and it really doesn't make sense. It seems like a typical overreaction. But after looking to it a little further, I've come to a different conclusion. Now, three problems pop up instantly when I read this. The first one, we picture little kids, you know, riding their bicycle out to Elisha. "Hey, Baldy, go up, bald head." You know that they were just being disrespectful. Did it really justify this kind of punishment? Number three, it didn't seem like it's a just punishment. God didn't have to kill them with bears. So these are some misunderstandings that I had, and basically I just want to talk about them for a little while and maybe bring some clarity to everybody if you haven't really thought about this story very much. My first problem was that these are little boys. It says that, I thought they were little boys at least. It says, then they went up from there to Bethel, and as he was going up by the way, young lads came up out from the city and mocked him. Now here in our culture, lads describes a young, you know, 5 or 6 year old kid. But in biblical terms, it's a little bit different. Some examples I found were that Joseph was called a lad when he was 17 years old. Isaac was called a lad when Abraham took him to offer him as a sacrifice, and it suggested that he was mid-20s or maybe even in his 30s. Solomon called himself a lad in 1 Kings chapter 3. David, at the time he went to fight Goliath, was called a lad. So I think we can agree that these aren't little kids. These are grown-ups, at least grown-up boys. They knew what they were doing. You know, they're not tying on their training wheels to their bike saying, "Go up, bald head, you baldy, that's funny." These are young men. You know, also, they say, "Go up, bald head," which that's not even a good insult. What does that even mean, "go up, bald head"? Maybe shine your head, you baldy, or something like that. But go up, which that's the first important consideration I think we should make. But to make the point, these are boys that knew better. They knew what they were doing. They knew what they were saying. Also, the number of lads says that this was a calculated attack. This was not just some kids hanging out, you know, playing soccer, and here comes Elisha. These says the bears got 42 of their number, which suggests that there was a lot more than 42. That 42 is what the bears got. So these people had, in my thoughts, they've planned to attack Elisha. That many number just suggests that there had to be some forethought and some organization to their group. My second problem was that, you know, they're just being disrespectful. What little kid isn't disrespectful? Who doesn't, you know, call somebody a baldy every now and then, or say, "Hey, you stink," you know? It happens. I don't think that that's what the scriptures suggest, I don't think. These lads were mocking. They weren't teasing. And there's a difference. We see that he was going to Bethel. Y'all remember Bethel? Dan and Bethel? These are the cities that introduced idolatry into Israel. So these boys coming there, I think, is significant. Since this is the birthplace of idolatry, it's reprehensible to God. God's most likely a joke to the people of Bethel. These kids were mocking him. It wasn't just a "he's bald, that's funny." I'd like to suggest a few things. The term "go up" was most likely a reference to how Elijah went up in the whirlwind. They were saying, "Why don't you go with him? You told that story. You know, that's a funny story about Elijah. Why didn't you go with him?" Yeah, like we believe that. This is intentional mocking of Elisha. We see almost an exact reversal of this type of mocking at the feet of Jesus when he's hanging on the cross. "Why don't you come down from that cross? You're the Christ. Hop down from there. Just do it." It's cold. It's cruel. It was hateful. Elisha had just lost his mentor, his compass, temporarily, just a few days earlier. These lads were laughing about it. Not just saying like a little boy may. This was a premeditated attack on the prophet of God. Premeditated attack on the story of what had happened to Elijah. They weren't just making fun of Elijah's ascension, I don't think, either. It shows that the boys knew what they were saying. Go up, you bald head. Bald head translates also into naked head. Headless one. One without a leader. He's useless. He has no head. Go up, bald head. He has no strength. It's not teasing. It's attack on the prophet of God, the mouthpiece of God, and in turn, God himself. It's not a joke about male pattern baldness. It's a lot more to it than that. My third problem was that it was kind of a heavy punishment, you know, killing kids with bears. Well, looking back at it, the text doesn't say that the boys were killed. It says, my version says tore up, or others, well, other versions say mauled. I like the version tore up. Let me tell you something. Larry Cutts back there has tore me up on several occasions. More than I can count, probably. And I'm still alive. I think that kind of tells us that it wasn't an execution. It wasn't God sending bears to kill and eat people. Tore up reminds me that it's a matter of discipline. You know, Dad never said, I'm going to maul you. But when he said, if you do that again, I'm going to tear you up, I knew what it meant. I'm not suggesting that the bears put these boys in a line and spanked them and said, go on your way, but I think it was a discipline matter. Now, I'm not saying that none of them died. A bear maul is pretty serious. Some of them may have died, but if you look at the logistics of the thing, 42 kids and 2 bears. So that leaves 21 lads per bear. So that would be quite the Golden Corral all-you-can-eat buffet if he were to kill them and eat them. But you can see this large group of kids that are just, you know, making fun of Elisha, and here come 2 bears. Now, I don't know if y'all have seen pictures of big mama bears, but I wouldn't want, even if I was in a big congregation of people, to have 2 mama bears coming after me. That would be a memory in itself. Then maybe you get swiped across the head by a big old bear claw, or, you know, maybe a bite on the leg or something. These boys didn't forget this. I can guarantee you for the rest of their lives. They remembered, hey, remember that time we were mocking Elisha and 2 bears came out of the woods? That was crazy. So, I think that this, looking at it this way, has helped me to understand this story a lot better. Like I said, I don't preach, but I'm talking, and this is my talk about this story. They weren't little kids. They were young men. They knew what they were doing. They were attacking the messenger of God. They weren't teasing. They were attacking. And God didn't necessarily kill them. He punished them justly. Now, skeptics may say that God and his messengers can't take a joke. You know? They can't, if God's going to send down bears to kill everybody that, or attack everybody that jokes, that's saying a little too much, I think. But when idolatrous, sacrilegious, blasphemous, evil young men come and attack the messenger of God, his message, and in turn God himself, that's a different story. So that's the story. That's what I found. That's, I think, what the text offers. I hope it's helped you to better understand the story, as it has me. It's been one that's been on my mind since the first time I ever heard it. It never really made sense to me, and now that I've dug into it, it's helped me a lot, and I think it hopefully has helped you. They're lads, not boys. They were mocking, not teasing. And the bears punished, not murdered. This is a defense of God, who demands that we always treat him as holy. We must always revere and honor God. Although some stories in the Bible we may find amusing or humorous, may it never be at the expense of our God, of his holiness, or his righteousness, or that of his messengers. So this hasn't really been the typical lesson, one that would cause somebody to want to come to Christ, maybe, but it's cleared things up a lot for me, and I hope you too. I hope you'll consider this talk. Anytime you hear somebody tell this story, it's kind of a joke. Hopefully you can help straighten them out, like I've straightened myself out. And tonight, if you're here and if you want to become a follower of that almighty, all-powerful God, controls bears, he does what he wants, his will is done all the time, we offer you to do that as we come, stand, and sing.